Okay, that should be all right. Okay, so do you want to ask me some questions now?
Okay. Claire, would you like to share a little bit about your background?
I'm Professor of Social Pedagogy in Thomas Kuhn Research Unit, and I started my working life in a residential children's home that was a secure unit in Durham. And then I went to train as a social worker, and before that I worked in another children's home in Islington. So I became a social worker and I worked in a children and families team for some years, and then I started doing research at Thomas Kuhn Research Unit, mostly about services for children, early childhood services, and then residential care, and then foster care, and then care leavers. So a whole variety of different contexts in which disadvantaged children live in Britain. And increasingly from the late 90s onwards, doing research in continental European countries to investigate the role of social pedagogue. And became convinced that social pedagogy in those countries offers a better quality of life for looked after children than was the case for children in Britain. And then began doing some pilot feasibility demonstration studies around how we might introduce social pedagogy into Britain. And then some years ago took on the role of developing the Social Pedagogy Professional Association, which is developing some infrastructure for social pedagogues and social pedagogical approaches in the UK.
What do you think could be the impact of introducing social pedagogy in the UK?
So we have nowhere near reached peak impact on social pedagogy in the UK. We started off looking at it in relation to young people living in residential care, and then we've moved out to different settings in which children are, so foster care, family support, and for care leavers, and multi-professional contexts around looked after children. And now there's been a little bit of work in relation to social pedagogy for older people, where it's been very well received. And there's so much more that could be done. I'm currently writing a proposal for work that I think would be really beneficial for social pedagogues working with school teachers and teaching assistants, looking at children who are likely to be excluded from schools, looking at questions of marginalisation in schools, and how we can use a relational, ethical approach and a creative approach in schools to support children to stay in school and not to be excluded. And we know exclusion propels young people towards adverse outcomes, such as not getting qualifications or becoming involved in crime. So really important that we promote as many ways as possible in which children can not be excluded from school and can feel happy and have a positive place in school. So that's one area, I think, where we could really expand social pedagogy. But there's lots more things that could be done. Another idea is that social pedagogical approaches to outdoor activities and sports could be much more widely promoted for looked after children, for their health and well-being, but also for other groups of young people and adults. And the value of a social pedagogical approach to that is that it foregrounds what you can do together. It foregrounds the bonding or the relationship between adults and children, and enables young people to feel that they have a place in this world and that there's a future for them. Not in a hierarchical way, but in a kind of accompanying way, a much more mutual effort, so that professionals can learn from young people as well as young people learning from professionals.
What do you see as the potential for social pedagogy?
So the potential is that we develop a professional association that supports everyone who wants to work in this way, and that it reaches across the age span from the early years to older people, that it reaches from people who want to include a social pedagogical approach within a course to degree programs in social pedagogy, that it's informal learning as well as formal learning, and that it's part of the everyday life for the country, in a sense that social pedagogical ideas are embedded in policy and in legislation, that they are funded, acknowledged as worthy of funding within service settings, and that there's a profession of social pedagogue in Britain.
Mm-hmm. What do you think would be the biggest obstacle?
What gets in the way of that?
Yes.
Even after 20 years, it's still difficult to explain social pedagogy in a succinct way, and I think that is an obstacle to getting easy purchase in law and policy and service settings. It takes a way of... you have to feel your way into it. You have to be convinced on a one-to-one or a small group basis. I've done hundreds of presentations to large groups, to occupational groups. Did one to the Educational Psychology Conference earlier this year. And people love the ideas, they love the outcomes, but they have difficulty finding a way in. And I think we have to get better at articulating the way into social pedagogy, to adopting the mindset of social pedagogy. It has to become easier to explain in some way. So that's one set of barriers. Another set of barriers is a very clear policy vacuum from national government and a hollowing out of local authority policy through lack of resources. So most of the most exciting things that are happening now are very subterranean, on the ground. There are students doing things on courses. There are small projects that are going on up and down the country, but they don't gather any large-scale momentum because there isn't a policy framework to support them. And I think that's a big gap for all of us, not just in the area of social pedagogy, but for all of us in Britain at the moment. So that we would like some stronger leadership from the top around making lives better for children, young people and adults in this country at the moment, as well as facilitating on-the-ground projects.
Do you, among the four nations, do you see any differences?
The four nations of the UK?
Yes.
Yes, there are very clear differences. There's a more sympathetic policy framework in Scotland than there is in England, and more interest in using policy to improve lives in Scotland than there is in England at the moment. In Wales and Northern Ireland, there's been much less activity in relation to social pedagogy. Some in Northern Ireland, less in Wales. And so it's always a struggle to know how to promote social pedagogy in those two places. Northern Ireland, of course, has no government, so that makes an additional layer of difficulty. And although we've done presentations in Wales and we have a little bit of interest, there has been really a lack of engagement, I suppose, and it's difficult to know how best to get over that. In England, there's, as I say, a policy vacuum. That there is a fair amount of activity on the ground, and I'm always heartened by hearing about from people like yourself about what's happening out there in service settings and conversations that things get going. And Twitter really helps to keep alive information circulating about what's happening on the ground. But you do feel that so much more could be done if there was a policy lead around this.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.